Well, if you're not in Galatians 5, I'd ask you to look there. And you can certainly look at the text we read in James. Hold your place there. We've been in this series of Galatians, and we come to the well-known section on the fruit of the Spirit. But as we've said the last few weeks, starting to look at these fruit, it's one thing to recite them, as many of them can say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. But it's a whole other thing to really understand what each of them mean in context of Galatians and the Bible, and to really experience what they mean in our lives. And as we've said, our role is to grow in cultivating these, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, getting into God's Word as He produces these in us, as we understand who we are in Christ, as we depend day by day and trust in the Spirit and look for the opportunities for Him, with Him, to trust Him and obey Him in real life. And that's how God produces these fruit. And we started to look at the first one a number of weeks ago, beginning the series, and that's love. God's love, as we experience that love. And we know love is there first because it's essential for all the other fruits, all the other spiritual character qualities grow out of an experience of God's love in Christ and that assurance that we have. And what? How did we define what this love of God is, this fruit? Well, we know it's what God has done and shown us in the gospel as helpless sinners, for us and for others. And we grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love as we learn to focus not on ourselves, but outwardly in what God is doing in the gospel of the lives of those around us. Love makes God's interest in others our interest more and more. Well, then we talked about joy, right, a couple weeks ago. Rejoicing in the Lord always, as Paul says. And someone said, joy is the surest sign of God's presence. Grimness is never a Christian virtue. If God is at the center of a Christian's life, then joy is going to come. And we said joy is an attitude, right? Joy is a mindset. It's not about happiness and circumstances that change. It's an inward thing that flows out of God's love. As we experience it, we rejoice. We know things are right with the Lord, and we know where we're going. And the point is, all these fruit, joy, peace, love, all of them, joy and peace flow out of love. As we experience God's grace, one thing comes, and that's joy, this outward expressive fruit, if you will, of rejoicing in the Lord. And the other one is more inward. We talked about peace last week, that inward security. It's more inward focused as we know that we're right with God and we experience the peace of God more and more. And we grow together in that peace that is in Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, He came to give us not as the world gives, but His peace that surpasses all understanding, as Paul said. Well, have you ever studied, you know, as we think about this next one, patience, and we think about the combination of all these fruit, have you ever looked at a shirt or a piece of clothing that you have? Yes, that's kind of weird. I don't look at my clothes like that, Ben. But, you know, you look up close, you know, and you know from a distance that shirt or that garment is one color. You'd say it's a blue shirt or a red shirt. But as you look closer at that piece of material, you notice that there's a lot of different threads of different colors that are all combined together to make that one color. To the average Joe or Jane who sees that shirt, they'd say, well, that's a red shirt or that's a yellow shirt. But if you look closer, even microscopically, but even just with your own eyes, you can see the different threads that are there. It looks like from a distance one thing, but it's made up of a combination of all kinds of threads that make an overall effect of that piece of clothing. People that see it, they aren't thinking of that. But the one who made the shirt, the creator of that shirt, had to consider every single thread individually and what the right combinations of shades of color would bring together to make that overall pattern and effect. Well, you see, spiritual fruit, Christ-like character, love, joy, peace, all these, it's kind of like that. The fact is, we said there's one overall spiritual fruit, and really at the heart of that is God's love. It's the first one. But it's one fruit. Fruit's in the singular. We said that a couple weeks ago. But that one fruit is made up of many different types of threads that come together for an overall effect and combination. Many fruits. And so we're studying the individual threads of that overall pattern that make up the one fruit of growing in God's love in Christ. All of these fruit, we need to look at them up close. Love, joy, peace, patience, etc. So we can really see the overall effect of what God's love is all about. When you're living your Christian life out there around people who might say, well, you know, he's growing, there's something different about him or her. They're not going to say, well, you know, he's really got love, or he's really got patience, or he's got kindness. They're not going to probably look at it all differently like we are. But we know as Christians, God wants us to know each of those different parts of the threads that combine together. All of these fruits, they're part of an overall picture of us growing, depending on the Spirit to grow in Christ-like character more and more. And that's true especially as we think about the fruit of patience. This next one here. It can seem similar, can it, to love, just generally, or kindness. The other one's faithfulness. We're going to talk about all those. It can even seem similar to joy and peace, but patience in character is practical. It's very unique. When you talk about being long-suffering, the words used there are slow to boil. Wright said, the first three items in Paul's fruit basket sound very spiritual. Love, joy, peace. Nice for Sundays, he said at least. But this next one, patience, brings us back down to earth on Monday morning. What are we like to live with in our family, the rest of the week, our jobs, when we cope with all that presses on us, he says, in this difficult world? Patience gets practical. The word for patience, as we use it in everyday speech, stands for several New Testament words that describe, ultimately, the godly reaction or response we have to a variety of situations. The word for patient deals with things when we've got to learn to yield control to problems and circumstances and to people, talk about that, who are not easy to deal with sometimes, and they provoke us, they irritate us. The word for patience in the New King James or the King James, the old original language is long-suffering. It's a good way of looking at it. Suffering long, patient. In the Greek, it literally means to boil slowly, to have a long fuse. We don't in our English language have a word for a long fuse. We say a person's short-fused, but we don't have a word for a long fuse. Maybe because we don't see as many people who are that way. But there isn't a word for it. It refers, though, to a person's response, again, to problems and suffering and to people. In the English, we use the noun patient, right? When a person's under the care of a doctor or hospital, and being a patient means you've got to be yielded under the control of that system, under that doctor or hospital for that time. You're a patient. But when you look at a patient as a noun and becoming patient, what they have in common is this. Both require that a believer come to terms with yielding control to another. That we're not the actors ultimately. God is the one acting upon us. And we've got to trust Him. We've got to yield to Him. The Greek word makrothumia is the word for patience here. It means two words, compound word of long suffering. Being slow to get angry. Slow to boil. Short, not being short-tempered, being long-tempered. It relates to how we're provoked to reaction, tempted to erupt in anger and impatience when there's problems or people that get at us and we lose our cool. But God calls us, as He produces the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, to grow in patience. Number one, the ability to endure for a long time to opposition or trials. That's the way the Bible uses the idea of patience. Endurance. Steadfast in obedience to God despite pressures to deny Him, someone said. Endurance is a word that means standing up under adversity. Perseverance is another word that means the ability to progress in spite of the adversity. But we can often in this life feel that sin is against us. We've been treated unjustly. Things aren't going the way we thought that they would, and we can try to take matters in our own hands. But the Lord calls us to endure as we trust Him. The point is, we don't give up. As we look to Him, we persevere, we remain faithful. We don't give in to doubt, discouragement, distraction, Then number two is the ability to put up with weaknesses with other people. That people thing, right? Not getting quickly irritated where we want to get back at people. We want to react. The word in the Bible is the word forbearance. It's used so many times here for dealing with people. Patience with people. That we're gracious more and more as Christ works in us, tolerating people's faults and weaknesses. Why does he always leave the socks on the floor? Why doesn't she squeeze the toothpaste from the end? These little inconveniences and irritations. Why does he get water on the floor when he does the dishes? All these things. I've heard that one before. But it might be the driver ahead of us driving too slowly, or a friend late for an appointment, or an irritating neighbor. We deal with all these things, don't we? But like Philip Reichert, he said in this book, he said, the biggest challenge for us here is not really understanding what Paul meant, though we're going to look at that, what this word means. It's doing what he said. We know what patience is, but the challenge is doing it. Mark Twain said, the old writer, it ain't those parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me the most. It's the parts I do understand. Wouldn't we agree with that? Johnson said, the Spirit changes the way we look and treat others, working in a way that we come to view them with more sympathy, forbearance, and generosity. We grow to not dismiss them or blow up at them. It's like a Christian who was talking about his impatience at work. He said, I've got to lose my temper with those people in order to get anything done. And we feel that way sometimes, don't we? But what does James say? 1, chapter 1. Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? For the wrath of man does not result in the righteousness of God. We're meant to grow in godliness, to become more like Christ. More like God, who is slow, long-suffering, slow to boil. We don't grow to become like God by giving into our tempers. James tells us very practically. So what causes impatience? A lack of peace. Not the world's peace, but what we talked about last week. When we're not growing in assurance and love in God and joy in Christ, and we don't have peace with God, or we're not experiencing the peace of God as a Christian, and we're not at peace, out of that will flow impatience. We're going to talk about that more. But when you've got peace in your heart in Christ alone, it's very hard for us to react with impatience. We might feel it, but we don't react with it as much. But when we don't have that peace, we're not experiencing the peace of God, we're going to tend to let it out, to be impatient about everything in those times. Here's some key things that help us grow in endurance and patience, this fruit of the Spirit. Number one, diagnose the problem. Problems. Proverbs 16:32 says, better to be patient than powerful, to win control over yourself than whole cities. God wants us to grow in patience. And sometimes you have people who say, well, I prayed for God to give me patience, and there's not less problems, there's more problems. How do you think God produces it? It's not easy, but, you know, this is how he produces the fruit of the Spirit. Many times by putting us under the heat of trials. What good does it do for us to talk about being patient, and I'm, you know, growing in patience, but we don't have to actually apply it? Doesn't work that way. Now, it can't be like the man who said, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. But that's the problem, isn't it? What gets at us? Well, it's irritations, inconveniences, things didn't go my way, and this got in the way of what I thought I needed to do. You know, things interrupted me, or it's inactivity. God's not answering me, and I'm going through this trial, and God won't change things. And we're not feeling, though we never were in the first place, but we're not feeling that we're in control. It's really what it comes down to. We're not humble. We want things our own way, and we get impatient. We have some idea about how we think things should go, whether it's injustice or sin or irritations, and so frustration builds up, and it lets it out. And we're impatient. Wouldn't you have to admit the world we live in, though, of course, doesn't help this? As we're brought into a world with getting everything at our fingertips right away, we want it now, we want it microwaved, we want it instant, we want it on the internet, and all the things that are out there, it doesn't help. You know, we say, well, why is my child, you know, waiting till 9 o'clock the night before to get us what we need, tell us what we need to buy for her project for school, you know, or whatever it is, you know. I mean, why is it the most difficult person at work got promoted over me? Why is this person in my family? I have to be around them all the time, you know. It's not helping me any. They're getting in the way of my life. Sanderson said, why is it tires go flat when we're in a hurry? Why does the vacuum stop the day the company's coming? But the real question is this. Why are we so unhappy and frustrated about those things? That's what we've got to diagnose. Because we like life and our sinfulness to fit into our little perfect box. And when our bubble gets burst, as it does with all of us, doesn't it, at times, impatience flows out. We get frustrated. We get frustrated with God's timetable, inactivity. God, this is not happening the way I thought it would. I've been praying about it. Things aren't changing. It's not happening when or the way I thought it would. You know, ignorance will bring impatience because we think in our minds this is senseless the way this is happening. And we're really upset with God. But we get impatient with people. But this, because we don't understand. We're ignorant of what the truth is. But this is a spiritual weed we must deal with because ultimately we're doubting God knows what he's doing. It's really practical atheism. Because we might say we believe in God, but we're not living like we believe in God. And we all struggle with this, don't we? But we get frustrated with our trials, not just timetable of God. But generally, when it feels like people are sinning against us, there's injustice. We're going through things that won't get better. And we lose our focus on God and on what he's doing. We get frustrated of our tolerance of others, as we talked about earlier. We need to be like a team of mountain climbers who are climbing on a rope connected to one another, and you can only move as fast as the slowest person. But we like to get it, oh, you're not going, well, you know, you're not doing what you need to do. Pick it up. You know, if we see adults in the physical world trying to get their 5-year-old to act like an adult, we laugh at that. But we do it in the church all the time. No, we're impatient with people. We think, well, they're Christians now. They need to figure this out. But yet they've only been a Christian for 6 months or a year. And we think they're going to know everything that we know for 30 years being a Christian. We're impatient. One of the most divisive spirits, someone said, in the church is impatience with each other's weaknesses and sins. Because we've got to learn by God's grace to put up with each other. We're brought together, and we're brought together to grow in patience, to grow in Christ's love. And being patient at the heart of that practically. We get frustrated with others. They're young in the faith. We want them to act a certain way. But we've got to come alongside of them in encouragement and love as Christ works through us. That's what they need. People, though, bottom line, like to feel they're in control. And when they're feeling they're not, they get impatient. Have you ever seen people on an elevator, you know? You've either got the swayers, you know, who's like you're riding on an elevator trying to, you know, when are we going to get there? Like it's going to make it faster. Or you've got the bouncers, you know. Or you've got the pushers. Pushing the button over. Now all this is going to make everything change. And we're like that in life. When we don't feel we have control, we get upset. But we're not in control. We got to yield to that. The more we surrender our lives to Jesus, more and more in the Spirit, in our work, our relationships, our marriages, our church, our home, the more we're going to grow in patience. If not, we're going to try to get control all the time and get it our way. And we, you know, see, that's why humility is at the heart of growing in true patience. The more we rest in Christ and know his love and know we're not God, but he is, he's in control, and we need his patience, then we start to look at others in the sense of how much they need God's patience. And God will work through us more and more as we see our need for patience. Number two thing is not only diagnose the problem, but define your motives. Define your motives. Patience is never a matter, just like any other fruit of the Spirit, of just making yourself differently. Hopefully you get that by now. It's a fruit of the Spirit produced as God's life works through you and changes you to make you like Christ. It is not a matter of psyching ourselves up. I'm going to be patient if it kills me. It might. I mean, you try to do it yourself. It doesn't work. It's not you saying or me saying, well, he doesn't really irritate me, you know, but deep down, you know, I'm just going to keep it in. not going to really deal with it and go to God about it. It's not stoicism here. It's not just, you know, hanging in there and grinning and bearing it and pushing on. It's not what the fruit of the Spirit of patience is all about. It's God working through us as we depend on Him and grow in His love, knowing He's changing us, knowing we need His patience. God using our situations as we realize more and more He's in control and He'll use what we're going through for His purposes. Like the old Peanuts cartoon, remember Lucy and Charlie Brown? Lucy's praying and she gets out and walks out and tells Linus, "I was praying for greater patience, but I quit. I was afraid I might get it." You see, we can be amazed, can't we? You know, you hear these stories of people, they persevere under great odds. They endure. I was reading about this actor, Will Smith. Don't agree with what he said here, but he said, "I'll do anything to get the part, you know? I'll die on the treadmill to be the best person. They might be more talented, but I'll die on the treadmill." And we think sometimes that's what we're talking about with endurance and patience. But not Christian endurance. Not Christian patience. It's not just that we push through, you know, and as we all what people say sometimes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What's going on in our hearts when it comes to Christian patience? See, it's why we're growing in patience that matters to the Lord the most. Christ-like patience isn't just grinning and bearing it. That's why we have the whole fruit of the Spirit together to balance it out. And all those fruits come from God's love as we experience His love. If we're trusting in His grace and love, we'll grow in love, we'll rejoice in our trials with the right attitude, we'll have the true peace of God with Christ, and out of that will flow patience and true Christian patience. We're not growing in patience so we can say, "Well, I endure, you know, and I'm showing people love how tough I am, you know. Look, they can see how tough I am. You know, I want people to know what I'm made of." Now, our motives matter to God, and why we're patient matters. The goal, as with every fruit of the Spirit, is we grow to become more like God and Christ in our character. Are we growing to become like that? Exodus 34 says of God, as God spoke to Moses and the people, "The Lord God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abounding in goodness." We're meant to grow like Him. God wants to produce a true spiritual Christ-like patience in us. It's not trying to get our way, or because we're patient, we manipulate and get an advantage with people. It's not that. God wants us to grow in true love that results in patience, and we become more and more like Him who abounds in mercy and is slow to anger. The one God who yields and waits to bring change in our lives and show mercy and draw us and others to Himself. This is our God. God wants us to become like Him. And yes, we have to deal with people sometimes and deal with their sin and challenge people. And that doesn't mean we say nothing in being patient. But our attitude matters to God. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? One thing He said, make sure you get the log out of your own eye before you try to get that speck out of your brother's or your sister's. Now, the speck there Jesus talks about could be that irritating thing that you think is causing you to be impatient with them. And you need to deal with it. They need to deal with it. God may use you in love to do it, but He wants you to get the log out of your eye. That pride that could be there, that bad attitude that's going to cause you to be blinded to your sin and act in impatience and hurt them. So yeah, we have to act sometimes, of course, and challenge people, but our attitude matters. The Lord wants us to become more like Him so that His character, Christ-like character, will shine through us and He'll use us. Romans 2 says, do you take His kindness and patience for granted that leads you to repentance? God works through us, making us more like Him, that it'll impact people's lives. It's a true patience Paul wants us to have, a fruit of God's Spirit working in and through us. And we've got to remember, it's not attainable by human striving. We cooperate with the Spirit, but we've got to look at our motives, define our motives when we talk about becoming patient. It's something He produces in us. Sanderson said, this writer, endurance may be a gift of God, or it could be false, artificial fruit. You've got to look at it. Some, he said, are just too lazy to react. We call them patient, but are they? Or they're just too proud to, they will not dignify their attackers with a response, he says. It's what makes people patient, the source of our patience, being God's love in Christ and his joy and peace and patience that really matters. David Jeremiah said, we've got to look at our hearts. What are we battling? Is our heart broken? Are we worried about our marriage or kids? What's going on inside? What's troubling us, he says. Hebrews 12 tells us that we've got a course to run with endurance, but only as we look to Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12 says. And we're to run it with patience, laying aside every sin and the weights that so easily entangle. Sometimes those weights can be what's going on in our hearts. We have to look at our hearts, examine them. Is unbelief holding us back? Is there some sin in our life holding us back? Jerry Bridges said, we can't say, that's just the way I am, you know, when it comes to our anger and impatience. Well, I have a bad temper, you know. My dad had a bad temper, you know. Now, it's sin. Acknowledge it for what it is. He says, meditate on the Bible verses that deal with impatience and pray for the Spirit to change us. Only He can. He said, when we lose our temper, that's when we need to apologize to those we've done that with. It makes us humble. It makes us see our sin for what it is. And it causes us to depend on God's grace in Christ. It's good advice when it comes to growing to become more patient. What we need to do is practice the presence of God with us if we're Christians. He is there with us. The more we are aware of His presence with us at all times, the more we realize He's in control. We trust in Him. We're yielded to Him. We remember He's with us, and that growing awareness of God being with us is what changes us. It causes us to be humble and dependent on Him and not act out of our anger and frustration. This is how God helps us to grow. So what we can do is pray, Lord, you know, you're in that moment and you're feeling, I can't take this anymore with this person or this situation. You pray, Lord, I'm deep down, I'm feeling impatient, but I know you're in control. Help me to see what you're doing now. Pray constantly. Practice His presence. Say, Lord, I want to trust you. Maybe you're stuck somewhere waiting at a doctor's office. But if you're trusting in God, practicing His presence, you might say, Lord, help me to see what you might want to do me to do in this situation. Maybe this is all part of your plan, and I'm supposed to talk to this person who needs Christ. You're in the line at Bunnings. I don't know, I was in the line a while back at Bunnings. There's lines at Bunnings? But anyway, yes, you know, maybe God's, there's somebody there who's anxious, frustrated. But you're waiting. You might focus on yourself and be frustrated, or you can focus on Christ and maybe see how you could use that situation. There's somebody there that needs you need to talk to, that can hear the encouragement that comes from Jesus Christ. You know, a violin that's free of tension, or any instrument like that that's strained, it's incapable of producing music, isn't it? The tension is used to produce beautiful music. What do we feel in our lives, don't we? Well, it depends on who's playing that violin too, I know, right? But take that for granted. We feel tension, don't we? In our lives, a lot of times we get impatient. But if we look to the Lord and trust in Christ, look to Jesus and His power, His pattern and example, He can use that tension for His good, to play music. Jesus felt anger, but it was never selfish anger. It was righteous indignation, right? But He was able, even in the tension, Jesus felt great tension, but He never sinned. But He trusted the Father, and God used Him. And we're not going to be perfect, obviously, only He was. But He's working in us. His character, His Spirit's working through us. As we yield to Him, He'll help us to grow in patience and the way we're called to. Number three thing. Number one is diagnose the problem. Number two, define your motives. Number three, deepen in Christ's love. And this is essential, obviously. We said that a major part of growing in Christ-like character and patience is patience with who? It's not always the what. Sometimes it's people, isn't it? Putting up with people that frustrate us inintentionally, unintentionally. Certain people at church or home or work or community can get under our skin, but we're called to bear with one another. How do we grow in this forbearance and patience as Christians? I like the story of this woman. She had given her life to Christ, and she had been very angry and violent even with her anger before she was a Christian. But she was then, once she became a Christian, her family started provoking her, kind of trying to get at her, you know. She said, I used to have a violent temper and my family were careful how they talked to me. But once I became a Christian, that changed. And I always had to have the last word before I was a Christian. But now, you know, they're always trying to get under my skin and say the things that annoy me. She said, if it hadn't been for the presence of Christ's Spirit in me, I would have easily reacted. But now, you know, I used to always have to have the last word. But now the last word is silence. I let them go on. But it's the Spirit working in me, she said. We find the strength and motivation, someone said, to be patient with others in God's patience with us. How much do we reflect on that? We need to reflect frequently on how patient He is with us. Before we became a Christian to save us. But as we grow, when we struggle and we don't want to, you know, do what God calls us to do, He waits on us. He's slow to anger. He waits in the right timing to do His will in our lives. How patient He is with each of us. If the God of the universe takes the time to wait on us as Christians, we learn from Him to wait on others. That's how we grow, in patience. I love the story of this older man and wife sitting together in the front seat of the car in the garage as they had for 60-some years. But now this lady had Alzheimer's. And her mind would drift back to her teenage days when her mom died. And on this particular night, she insisted on going back home in her mind to take care of that dad who had lost his wife. Now, sweetheart, this husband said to her, you know what I'm going to tell you. Dad died 50 years ago, she said. But I feel in my heart, she said, he's waiting for me. I'm not getting out of this car, she said, until you take me home. But sweetheart, the husband said, we are home. She said, no, not here, home. And the conversation went until finally their son came in and saw the two there in the car and garage arguing or talking. And he said to his dad, the son, how long have you been here, Dad? He said, oh, about 2 or 3 hours. That's patience. That's only God can give you that kind of patience and love for those around you. And the key is humility, because it's only through our continued experience of God's great love and patience for us, we see how much patience we need. And therefore how much patience others need. So we learn to wait as the Spirit leads us, empowering us to love, to hold back what we might feel to say rashly. Or to keep doing the things we need to do as God works through us and say the things we need to say. 1 Corinthians 13 says about love, love is patient. But you know what it literally says? It says love waits patiently. It's a verb. Love is a verb always. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, brothers, we exhort you, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient. With all, how we need patience. Someone said, in telling us to exercise patience, the Bible is telling us to imitate God's character. Patient in the sense of being slow to anger and in the sense of waiting for just the right time to do something. We're to grow to become like Christ, like God. We're to model our life after this long-suffering God who is so patient with us, waiting on us when we have sinned to come to Him asking for forgiveness. Not destroying us when we need time to repent. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:16, God's work in his life was a display of the perfect patience of God. And what it is, that's what it is in our lives too. See, the best way to develop is to reflect frequently on God's patience towards us. That's how we grow. Remember the story Jesus told of an unforgiving steward? You might want to look it up sometime in Matthew 18. Peter had just said to Jesus, how much do I have to really show patience to my brother who sinned against me and forgive him? And Peter said, how about 7 times? And Jesus said, how about 70 times 7 times? Meaning, there's not a limit on it. But he really gave the answer in the story told of a king. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king that wanted to settle accounts with the servants. And when he settled the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, like millions of dollars. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all he had, and payment be made. But the servant fell down before the master, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant, that one that just got forgiven and showed patience to, He went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, probably $200 or $300. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and put him into prison. Now the point was, this man in the parable owed the master millions. And yet he couldn't pay. And then he asked for patience, and the master not only cleared the debt, he forgave him. He not only showed patience, he cleared the debt. But then immediately he runs into somebody who needs patience, and he doesn't have anything to give. You know, millions versus hundreds of dollars. And he throws him in jail. And someone said, the same steward showed no patience at all to a fellow servant, even though he used the very same words in asking patience from his master. I mean, he had just gone with the same cries for help, and now this other man says the same thing, and he can't show him any mercy. He has no ability to show patience for a much less debt. And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. And Jesus said, so shall your heavenly Father do to you if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. The point is, the Father, God, is incredibly long-suffering beyond our imagination. But don't think there won't be a coming day of judgment when that patience will end for those who reject His mercy. And on top of that, one of God's key goals through His mercy and patience to us is to make us more merciful and patient. And this should show us, one man said, God's patience is a powerful force that it must be reflected in those who've received that patience, if they truly have. Doesn't mean you're not perfect in it, but are you growing in patience? Are you deepening in God's love and grace in Christ that makes us more patient? It has to if we're really Christians. Jesus said, should you not have shown the mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? The point is, God's patience has to change us. It's too awesome not to change us and make us more patient. Jerry Bridges said, how well this depicts when we are impatient. We struggle with impatience with people for lesser things every day in consideration of how patient God has been to us. We do with that, don't we? But God calls us to look to Him. And isn't it interesting when you're driving, you know, you admire the patience of a driver who's behind you, but not the one in front of you. What is that? And it's like this guy, he received a paycheck and the amount was $100 too much. He didn't say anything. And the next week they corrected it. And this time took $100 out to make it right. And he went and he complained. And they said, well, you didn't complain until now. And he said, yeah, I can tolerate one mistake, but this is getting to be a habit. What is it about us that we like to be shown mercy, but we don't want to show it? It isn't right. If we're Christians, this is the change God brings in us. And finally, quickly, we'll close with develop a godly perspective. We can't have patience unless we have growing knowledge and faith and hope. Children are impatient because they're ignorant and inexperienced. We all are like that, aren't we? And they get very easily impatient. And kids don't know the difference between no and not yet. And this is true with us as God's children. We're meant to grow in our ability to trust in God's will, to know He's at work in and through us. The proverb says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. And what is wisdom? It's seeing things more and more and seeing people from God's perspective. What He's doing. We have knowledge of Him and His Word and trust Him and have hope, knowing where things are going. And it helps us grow in patience. We've got to have a godly perspective to grow in patience. Romans 5 says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only that, in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience, perseverance. And perseverance results in character, and character, hope. We go through things and test like a fighter, like an athlete. We get stronger. We know how to handle things in a different way. We face something that's similar to it later. We've gone through it before. We've got endurance. And then we have proven character in Christ, God's character, through those trials. And then our hope increases because we know God more. We're aware of Him. We know what He's doing. We know where we're going. So God uses the trials to produce endurance, patience, character that's proven, and growing hope in where things are going. That's a godly perspective. Wish we had a little bit more time to break all that down. But we become like, as Paul said, I can handle all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but more and more in Christ who's working through us. So let's turn to him now as we close and ask for his grace. Gracious